Welcome back, America. This is your podcast about cars. Remember, there's American history, there's automotive history, and then there's your history. We are at the Venn diagram intersection of those three. This week's another episode, and we're going to get into thoughts about cars, whether parents' cars, road trip cars, your first cars, the cars that have meant something to you. This is To All the Cars I've Loved Before. Check us out online at carslove.com, carslove.com. All kinds of wonderful stuff there. Embarrassing photos. There's a form if you want to be on the show. Join the millions of Americans that have never heard of us. And my name is Christian, and I'm going to kick it over to my co-host, Doug, my co-pilot, my co-driver, co-passenger, as it were, Doug, as he introduces today's very special guest.
Thank you, Christian. Yeah, so we've got a blast from the past for me.
Love it.
I think it's safe to say best friend growing up, Adam. He no longer resides in Maryland. He's in the great state of Texas, where everything is great and bigger. And Adam's got a great automotive history, I feel.
How far apart did you guys live growing up?
Probably half a mile,
yeah.
If that.
Fantastic. Oh, dang.
You could walk if you really, really wanted to. Yep.
And we did before we could drive, but I'm sure there's some stories there. So, Adam, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you. Please tell us a little bit about yourself or our listeners, if you will.
So my name's Adam. Grew up in the Northeast between New York and Maryland, but have been in Texas and Dallas since, probably like 98. Work brought me down here and enjoying the heat.
And humidity. Never forget the humidity.
And don't forget the cold and the power spike.
It's not dry, but it's not like up there.
Yeah, man. Did you guys get the power grid fixed, or are you still like lighting candles for heat?
It's the best dang power grid in the world or something like that. I'm not sure, man.
Now, is it a lot of it's a lot of windmills, right? It's a lot of windmills and
West Texas has a lot of windmills. Yeah.
West Texas. Yeah.
We're talking about North Dallas. It's a different animal, right, Adam?
Okay. Before we get into it, gotta say, now my aunt, my mother's youngest sister, lives out in Amarillo. And I went and took my kids to visit her. I'm say, God, right as we were coming out of COVID and we were able to fly again. And it's so flat. I mean, it is flat. I've never seen anything so flat. There are no hills. You can see for miles down the road. Everybody drives 80 miles an hour. Like even, you know, people that have no, because you can see it. And so the wind flies through and you can see these enormous wind. I've never seen anything like that in my life, but it was.
Giant farms of them. Yeah. We drove through there once, like a few years ago. Yeah.
Dig it. Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt. Doug.
Cool. I learned something I didn't know. Yeah. So if you're a new listener or if you're just coming back, we're going to talk to Adam about some significant cars in his life. It could be a car that his first car, one he acquired, how he got it, the color, what he liked about it, what he hated about it, what happened to the car, cars that significant things in his life. He happened to own the car during that time. Maybe he had his first date in the car. Maybe his first child was born in the backseat. I don't know. So
that's what happened to Michael J. Fox and Doc Hollywood. We should maybe have him on. Great movie, by the way. Julie Warner.
Yeah, it was a great movie. So, Adam, you want to start out with an early car? This is really all about you.
We'll go to the very beginning. Doug, you remember this car? I had I don't know what year it was, 87-ish. Toyota Corolla FX.
FX16, if I remember correctly.
Correct. I'm sorry. Yes. Good point. FX16. It was not the base model. It had the 16-valve engine, but it was not the GTS model that had the stick shift in the 14s. I had the automatic in the 13s.
13.
But it did have a mean, I think, a factory Toyota decal on the side. It was pretty ride.
I love those. Most people hate them. I love them. That's my official position on that. My official position is the decals on the side.
Like anybody's first car, just lots of fun in that car.
How did you end up with that car, Adam?
What color?
It was white. It was white, and I ended up with it because my parents are divorced. My dad was in Indianapolis at the time and went out there one summer. He bought it for me, and we drove it back together, and he flew back.
And if memory serves... Sorry to interrupt you. If memory serves, your dad was quite a car aficionado as well. He changed cars quite a bit.
he changed cars quite a bit. He changed.
Yeah.
But that was a fun car. Learned how to, I think, work on brakes on that car. Learned how to go to a junkyard and acquire replacement parts, all kinds of good life skills.
Yeah,
good life skills.
My kids and I were on, we were going somewhere, maybe it was along I-10, and we're just past a junkyard. I said, man, look at that junkyard. My kid said, what's that? What's that? And I said, oh, well, this is where cars pile up and you go and you find your car, you extract parts, you know, you barter with the junkyard owner, you try not to get bitten by, you know, the dog from the movie The Sandlot. And they had no clue. Because typically what happens to old cars now is they just get crushed down into cubes and they salvage what they can. They recycle.
That is true. That is true. And yeah, really, really great point about how times have changed, right? And
it was much more a throwaway society back then. Yeah,
for sure. I remember a few junkyard trips with Adam, of course. So first car, Adam learned to drive in it, right? It was a nice car, as I recall. For our viewers, it was basically kind of a twin of a Honda Civic two-door. It looked, we had a mutual friend with a Honda Civic two-door,
yeah,
and that's what it looked like.
It was very boxy.
Yeah, very boxy. Roomy inside, two-door, white. And let's see, I'm trying to remember what else. Was there any significant feature like tape deck?
No, it did have a cool aftermarket equalizer hanging off the bottom. I think the previous owner installed it, so that was always like fun to play with. Wasn't a great sound system, but it had a 10-segment equalizer on it.
Yep. And I know I said tape deck for those viewers that the listeners who remember that. Yeah, tape decks were fun. And the secret when they're not working is a pencil, right? And a lot of people don't know how a pencil and a tape work together, but they do.
They're best buddies.
I used to love having equalizers. You know, I'd love to play with the little sliders and, you know, and I thought I was Dr. Dre or something. I couldn't hear a difference ever on any of the equalizers I had. Oh, boy, I thought I was fancy sliding the little levers up and down.
Adam, what happened to that car?
It was in an accident. But I don't remember if that was the terminal event for that car. Yeah, that was the end of the car.
Yes,
that was the terminal event of the car.
I'm pretty sure my head hit the side of the window during that accident.
Oh wow!
But it didn't crack the window.
No, it didn't.
Present at creation.
So you're fine.
Oh yeah, I was fine. A concussion later. Toyotas are safe. You guys heard it here first.
Yeah, I heard that a free concussion came with that trim package. So anyway, hey, let's pivot to the next car. That meant something to add. Love that.
Next one, not in chronological order, but my first probably adult car. So when I first moved to Dallas, went to the dealer, bought in 98 and bought a 96 Nissan Maxima.
Nice.
Which had that for a long time. Love that car. It was quick. It was well equipped.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, nice, big old sunroof. And I ended up in the later years doing a lot of mods to that car. The kids would know it. We did a what the kids call a pre-cat delete with a pipe to bypass the pre-cats, give it, which was a big bang for the buck for that car.
Nice.
I know I put some lowering springs on it. I know I rebuilt the brakes a number of times. And I'm pretty sure I dropped the automatic transmission valve body, sent it off to some crazy shop somewhere that drilled some holes a little bit bigger, increased fluid pressure, and it was basically a shift kit, right? So under light throttle, you wouldn't notice the difference,
nice.
But full throttle, the thing would like bang second really, really hard and even third. Gave it a little bit more pep.
Wow. Forgot. I don't think I knew about that stuff, that you had done it, I mean.
That was a long time ago.
Now, did you do that or did you have that done or did you collaborate with someone?
I did all that myself, except that shift kit work and that you send off. So the car sits idle while you drop the part, box it, send it. They do their magic over a week and they send it back. And hopefully you install it correctly.
I remember
where all the springs and screws went. I did like that car. That car also had, so the variety of that car they sold in the Middle East had a variable length runner, and you could buy it aftermarket, install that. So I did that on it and gave it a little bit more power and it had to hook up an RPM switch and all kinds of crazy stuff to get it to work. But that was a fun car. all kinds of work on that.
Nice, nice. And yeah, I do remember that car. What color was it, Adam?
That was white too.
It was another white car. Interesting.
That was white too. And that one got sold to my neighbor across the alley. And if you're listening to this podcast, I apologize. But yeah, the high schooler across the alley from us, everyone in Dallas, for the listeners that don't know, most neighborhoods have alleys, and you put your trash in the alley and you pull into your garage from the back. So not less people park in front of the house. People are parked like behind the house. So you make more, almost friends more with the people across the alley behind you than in front of you on the street, because you're out in the driveway, whatnot back there. So anyway, the neighbor behind me said, "Hey, will you sell me your car for my teenage son?" And this was, I already had another car, and I said, "Sure." And we came to a good price.
I love that. I love, by the way, the preamble, which is the blanket apology to every citizen of Dallas and, you know, Texas writ larger, I guess. That's always to anyone I've ever offended about anything. Very helpful in today's society. Good stuff. No, I was just going to say, the white seemed to be a theme on these first two early cards.
No, I think those two happen to be white, but they're all across. I had all across the spectrum.
Gotcha. Well, what I was going to say is, you ever drive down the road? Now, I'm in the market for a car now, sort of always in the market for a car. But you go down the road and you ever see like white, gray, black, white, gray, black, white, gray, black, blue, white, gray, black, white. It's just, I mean, I get that it's a way to keep costs down, but my goodness. I mean, every car looks windswept now, but there's just seems to be very little variability in color. I don't know. Just want to throw that out there. We can move to the next car if that's a dumb thing to say.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to, I remembered some marketing, and I think Nissan still uses it. It was the four-door sports car.
Yes.
And if I remember, your dad had one. I had one later.
Yeah, he had the prior gen. Yeah, the prior gen. That's when it started. The model year through 94, and then mine was model year, it was 96, but it was 95 through, I think 98 was that style. And through then it was four-door sports car. I don't know if it kept it after that or not.
Yep.
Interesting. Yep, I remember that.
That's marketing. And I think I had a friend, we had a mutual friend in high school who had an older, maybe original one, and had a digital dash. And God, back in the day, that was just the coolest thing.
Digital dashes were cool.
Now everything's digital, but in a different way.
The funny thing is, you ever get into a car and you've got these enormous analog, and this is the newer cars, maybe not the newest cars, but maybe 5 years old or so, they would have these huge analog dials, speedometer, tachometer, and then this tiny digital area in between. And it's sort of, you know, if you just think of it in terms of real estate on the cluster, I don't need these analog gauges. Like, all the meat is right here. And now I got to click the button 26 times. What's my range? What's my efficiency? Yeah. What's the temperature? What's this? I don't care for that.
I feel like you've got like Bosch or one manufacturer somewhere making some widget that every car manufacturer just pops in there and is done with it. And maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, that needs to move into the 21st century. All right, we're at 15 past. Is there another car? Do we hold till next season? Where are you at? What do you think, Ed?
Gosh, I mean, we can do a quick third car. I had a 08 Infiniti Q50, which is probably my most fun car. So I lease, and I had three of those, an 08, an 11, and a 14. That series of cars I loved. A lot of fun to drive. That first one I did a lot of modifications to, I won't get into. But in Dallas, they have Texas Motor Speedway, which is a big NASCAR loop, and they hold private events. And I did some high performance driving stuff there in that car.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun in that car.
Yeah. So what did you love about those cars, since you had three of them? There had to be a few things.
It was quick. It looked good.
Yeah.
I liked how it drove. It had all the options I wanted. And I couldn't find, like, BMW, Mercedes, Audi was too expensive. And then, you know, down from there, it was like kind of a nice middle ground. You know, you're premium, but you weren't like spending BMW money.
There's a term in the industry, near luxury.
Near luxury.
And I love the candor of that statement. Like, I've had a few Acuras and I felt like it was, you know, there but not there, kind of one foot on either side. So you can go all in and buy something European or more reasonable for the pocketbook. That's a really good point.
So did those cars, obviously you leased, so you had to return them.
Yep.
Did they get better with each successive one? So every 3 years, you got a new one.
My first one was second gen. The second two were third generation. So the second two were basically the same.
Gotcha.
So from the first to the second two, there are big differences, and you can get a lot more sporty or bigger wheels, bigger brakes in the later ones. But otherwise, car itself did change a whole lot at all.
And that was a rear wheel drive car with a big V6, right? 300, 400 horsepower.
No, I mean, it was a 3.7 V6, and it was, I don't even, it was low to mid 200s at the time. I don't remember what it was, but I mean, it moved.
Well, that's before you deleted the cats and all that stuff, but you know.
Yeah, that's before you put the blower on it, like Fast and the Curious. Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So as we wrap up, good stories.
Yeah.
Anything before we say ta-ta here to all the cars I've loved before Nation? Any thoughts as we wrap up?
Love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Hey, man, it's been years since I've heard your voice. It's sort of wonderful. I think there was probably some sort of wild night out in D.C. was our last hurrah. So you look good. You sound good. Thanks for making the time. And we're definitely going to have you back in season two because you're a great interview. Assuming there is a season.
I'll get three more lined up. I'll get three more lined up.
Go buy three so we can talk about them. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah. And Adam, if there's something you forget about the car, the chances are that I'll probably remember.
Yes.
Oh, what absolutely. Are the odds that your lovely wife would want to be on the podcast, Adam?
She's a big podcast fan.
Oh.
So I bet she would love to do that because when I told her, I think she got a little jealous. So I think we might be able to make that happen.
All right. Well, we could have a spinoff car. Yeah, we could have a spinoff podcast. To all the cars of the spouses that we've loved before. Could work. Could line up my ex-wife. It's beautiful. Just kidding. I think that's all for this week. Thank you, guys. Remember, we're online at carsloved.com. Check us out at carsloved.com.
And where you find your favorite podcast.
Where do you find it?
Yeah, where you find your favorite podcast, which in terms of this podcast, most people will find it in the nearest recycle bin. But hey, you know, we're the young up-and-comer on the street. Hey, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Carsloved.com. Check us out. Carsloved.com. Take care.